Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, in your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage and Happy New Year. Let us play the men in 2021. Remember George Washington? He said, truth will ultimately prevail where there is pains taken to bring it to light. Well, it's the pains that are needed to bring it to light that people, especially politicians, have trouble with. Happily, however, some are taking those pains. Thank God for them. The Georgia State Senate hearings are proceeding, and Jovan Pulitzer is pulverizing the there-is-no-evidence spin that Tokyo Rosies are singing incessantly. Congressional certification of the electoral votes coming January 6th. And President Trump has called us all together there in Washington, D.C. for the momentous occasion. I want to give you some insight on what men must do. Jovan and Gohmert are quitting themselves like men, among others. But Senator John Thune, or Toon, McConnell, and others have, well, they've joined the wussy pack. January 6th, gathering in D.C. to support the Constitution. And my message to patriots, take the offense. Nashville bombing update. I did a bit of research on this, and if I have time, I'll update you today. Or I'll plan to address it during our live stream visit this evening, 2021. Certainly now is the time for all good men to come to the aid of their country. And the operative word is men. My friends, it's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic. A gourmet meal for the mind.
George Washington said, truth will ultimately prevail where there is pains taken to bring it to light. We need men, Christian soldiers, who will endure hardness, as the Bible says. But most politicians are averse to struggling upstream against the flow or going against the wind. They're more like the wind vane, you know, that changes direction with it. It's the pains associated with taking a stand against the militant left today. The pains, the tyrannical Democrats will surely inflict the pains, you know, the hassle, the trouble, the attacks, the threats. And that's why they want to make nice with the bullies. They want to find common ground, to make friends with our enemies. They don't understand that making friends with a snake only ends up feeding the snake. To bring truth to light requires doing a lot of uncomfortable things, exposing people as liars, cheats. It involves sometimes provoking the ire of powerful men and women who can hurt you, destroy your career, cause pain to you and your family. But that's sometimes the pain that must be endured to bring truth to light. And that is why we need men, not wussies. By the way, do you know what that word means? It was introduced in the 70s. No one knows how it originated. And yes, it is a word, and it's used as a noun and a verb. As a noun, it identifies an ineffectual person, but its use as a verb actually clarifies its meaning when used as a noun. A wuss is someone who fails to do something as a result of fear or lack of confidence. You see, in this hour, friends, we need men. Most politicians are driven by a need to be liked. It's what wins elections, and it's also what corrupts men. They want their political opposites to like them. They want the MSM to like them. For these folks, success is getting others to like them. In every encounter, if it concludes with you liking them, well, they derive a sense of fulfillment. They go away believing that the encounter was successful. This is McConnell and his buddy Thune, or Toon, I'm not sure how to pronounce his name, and to a lesser degree, I think Lindsey Graham and others. They are convinced that getting things done is about getting people to like each other. Being liked is fine, my friend. Everyone enjoys it. Except when you're dealing with snakes, wicked men and women. Never trust the affection of a snake. When you're dealing with wicked people, they will attempt to win you in order to blind you. The only way to remain safe from seduction by the wicked is to understand and embrace the natural enmity that God has purposely and for design placed between the wicked and the righteous. Remember? In the garden, God said to Eve that he would put enmity between her seed and the seed of the serpent. The reference there to her seed is to the incarnate Son of God, ultimately, something we just celebrated here at Christmas. Those who receive the Son of God, you know, are birthed to him, become children of God, and they're birthed by the incorruptible seed, as Peter made clear, making us children of God. These are called the children of obedience because these have obeyed the gospel command to repent and believe on Jesus Christ to be saved from the wrath of the Lamb when he comes to judge the earth. The seed of the serpent refers to the children of Satan. They're called children of the devil, children of disobedience. Why? Because they refuse to repent and believe on God's Son. Well, the Bible says God put enmity between these seeds, friend. Why would God put enmity between the seeds unless it was his purpose to set them at odds with each other? You see, he does not want the righteous to get along with the wicked. He's not interested in encouraging his children to come under the spell of serpents. And if you're paying attention, that is exactly what happens. We send good men to Washington, D.C., and soon they begin trusting the false affection of the snakes, and they transfer their affections from those who sent them there to the snakes they're fraternizing with up there in Washington. Before long, they're just totally gone, man. Remember that while all men are sinners, not all sinners are given over to the impulse of their sinful nature entirely. I differentiate it in this way. All men are sinners, but not all men are wicked. The wicked are the enemies of God, the enemies of righteousness, the haters of truth. Friend, not all sinners are haters of truth. Not all sinners are dedicated opponents to the truth. But any sinner or saint, for that matter, who makes friends with the wicked, they will begin to see their convictions and their courage break down. Their resistance to the seduction to the dark side, the seduction of the snakes, will break down until they are under the control of the snakes. And from there, all sorts of fleshly desires will begin to gain control of them, and over time, they will succumb to the darkness. It's not too long before all the ideals that might have at first inspired them to aspire to public service are gone, and all that's left is a golem-like soul haunting the dark caverns of their darkened soul with only one all-consuming passion, protecting his or her ring of power. What we need are men of courage and conviction, men who are not afraid of the pains necessary to bring truth to light. I put out a call for men on Wednesday night as we move toward 2021. Check it out. Now I'll abbreviate that message here as I conclude my first segment. Israel was in trouble. The army was sandwiched between two large batteries. Israel was outnumbered and virtually surrounded. I mean, they could not leave without exposing their rear to the enemy, which would have meant certain destruction. We are in such a case. We are surrounded, friend. I mean, your children of disobedience who hate God have taken into their power so much of the power of government that they just seem to just do whatever they want to do contrary to law, and nobody can do anything about it. They hate God, they hate Christ, they hate his true church, and they hate biblical Christians. And these mass before and behind us, many silly little wussies on the right think we should negotiate with snakes. They think we should yield and run. They are unwise. They do not have the understanding of men. They don't realize that these enemies of our liberties will never willingly yield, and we will never be stronger than we are today to resist and defeat them. Yielding only allows them to increase their strength and diminish our own. We must not listen to the wusses. We need men right now, not wussies. We need men like Joab, who was captain of the host at that time. And here's what he said to his men as they faced that danger. Be of good courage. And let us play the men for our people and for the cities of our God. And the Lord do that which seemeth him good. 2 Samuel 10 verse 12. Joab did not whine. He did not start wringing his hands. He didn't throw up a white flag to the enemy. He did not accept the, I didn't tell you how this fight got started, but the king of Ammon had befriended David. And when that king died, David sent an embassage to the king's son to extend condolences and honor the friendship. The king decided David's embassage were spies and cut out their garments, exposing their buttocks, and shaved their beards. Realizing this effrontery would certainly provoke David, they hired the Syrians and set their army in the field. And when David heard about it, he sent Joab and the mighty men to meet them. We've been insulted by the open and flagrant manner of the Democrats in this election. Yeah. They have shaved our beards. They have belligerently defied law. They've trampled on the Constitution right in our face. And they've used COVID as a cover to commit fraud in this election. And treasonously, they have colluded with China to steal the election for a China puppet, Joe Biden. But the pains to bring all this into the full light of day, well, they're just too much for the wussies. And they won't make the sacrifices necessary to expose it. Well, when Joe had found himself surrounded, he called for men. He said, "Be of good courage and let us play them in." It is interesting that the words translated courage and the phrase play them in are from the same root. Actually, they are the same word. The word means to grip, to take on, with resolve. And so it is a Hebrew word that's used to speak of courage. The difference is that play them in has an added prefix. And anyway, the point is the expression play them in means act the part of a man. We got too many playing like men. Let's get some real men on the battlefield. The fact that the word for play the man or play the men is the same word that means courage tells us that from God's point of view, the primary characteristic of a man, the defining characteristic of a man, is courage. And courage is the resolve to do what is right no matter what the consequence. Did you hear what I said? Courage is the resolve to go forward and do what is right, no matter what consequence you face in the effort. Joab committed the consequences of their actions to what seemed good to God. He challenged the men to be men that would fight to protect their people and the cities of our God. No matter what happens as a result, the right thing must be done. The wussies say, "Oh, come on." You know, trying to challenge the certification of the electoral vote is, well, how did Wussy Thune put it? I'll just say Thune. I don't know the guy's pronunciation. I should go look it up. I don't have time. He said, "It's going down like a shot dog." And he added, "And I just don't think it makes a lot of sense to put everybody through this when you know what the ultimate outcome is going to be." What a wuss! It's not about what the ultimate outcome is going to be. It's about what's right to be done. Friend, the consequence is in God's hands. What is in your hand is to do your duty and stand up for what is right. To do absolutely everything you can do to oppose this travesty of justice, this shameful exposing of America's buttocks to the entire world with this ridiculous third-rate banana republic election that we've allowed to go on. They've shamed us. My friend, this could well turn into the tale of four boxes, as my friend Matt Morgray brought to my attention last night or Wednesday night. We tried the soapbox, we've tried the jury box, and we've tried the ballot box. If you take away the ballot box, there's only one box left, and that's the ammo box. I grew up hearing all my life. I grew up hearing this my whole life. The old maxim, we settle our differences in America with ballots, not bullets. Well, you take away the ballot, and all that's left are bullets. Stop this now. Real men, stand up and stop this now. Looks like I'm going to be continuing this on the other side of the break. Hold on. I'll be right back.
Most believe Satan owns the world and has the right to rule it. They think Christians should leave politics to unbelievers, that believers have no place in government. Well, Christians, how's that working for you? You see, the fact is Satan has fed you a lie. Satan depends on Christians staying in the dark about the fact that Jesus Christ defeated him, and Satan has no right to rule one square inch of territory on this planet. Learn the truth. It will set you free. Go to GodsWar2020.com. Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. The Brain Massage Show is ready to go. Get ready. Your brain is about to get a massage.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemy is on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. The captain of the Lord's host in the days of David was a man named Joab. His army was in a pickle. Enemy in front of him and enemy behind him. He could not attempt to maneuver out from between the two armies without exposing his rear and allowing both armies to pursue him. He had to either surrender or fight. Joab knew that surrender would expose Israel to plunder, to pillage, to mayhem, to oppression, and to shame. He chose to fight even though the odds were decidedly against him. He told his men, "Be of good courage and let us play the men for our people and for the cities of our God." His response was not governed by the odds of victory, the reasonableness of any hope for success. His determination was governed by the manly understanding that this enemy would bring Israel into oppression. This enemy would make the people into slaves. To defend the rights and liberties of the cities of our God, we must have men that will stand up against the wicked who would oppress us, who would take from us our liberties. The Bible is full of stories like this, impossible ones. You know, David ran out to meet Goliath. He was not thinking about the probabilities of success. You know, for a kid with a slingshot to go out against a giant that stood 9 feet tall and change, with a sword and a shield. I mean, he had one thing on his mind. David did: the glory and honor of his God and the defense of what's right and freedom of his people from the oppression of the Philistines if they won. We need men who will jeopard their lives, who will take the pains to stand for truth. As George Washington said, truth will prevail if only men will take the pains to bring it to light. The wussies will run up the white flag at the first sign of pains. They will say, "David, you can't win against Goliath," not understanding that for men, the will to fight is not shaped by that as much as it is shaped by what's right to be done. What is right makes might, Abraham Lincoln said. A man will stand to fight when it's right against wrong. I mean, a real man. But wussies, they waffle and quibble over practical concerns because, you know, they are so smart. Yeah, right, they're fools. They're yielding to the wicked, giving them strength, while weakening those whose will is to fight. They discourage the effort to stop this wicked effrontery to our rights as Americans. Friends, leave the outcome to God. Take courage and fight on. But the wussies will always be there to criticize the fighters, you know, to demoralize them, to compromise them, and even work behind the scenes against them. Many of these wussies are conspirators dedicated to serve the enemies while pretending to be on our part. You've heard me describe them as face-kissing, backstabbing Judas Republicans. Well, that's a different level. Those guys are traitors. Some of them bought and paid for with the same money that has been used to purchase Biden. China has its plants scattered everywhere doing its bidding. A CCP professor said as much in a speech a bit ago. So you need to ignore them. Stay focused on the battle that is immediately in front of you. If some wuss comes at you waving a white flag, well, spit in his face and keep on fighting. And I don't mean that literally. If you see a white towel drop down in front of you in the rink while you are engaged in the fight, well, kick it back into the face of the wuss that tossed it and keep on fighting. I can't stand those weasels on the right who are throwing in the towel, running up the white flag. I'm in a fight, man, and a man fights to the end, his own or his enemies, and this is the sort of fight that we cannot afford to lose. But win or lose, let's fight for what's right. So let's talk about the fighters. For thousands, my friend, of citizens who have sworn out affidavits under penalty of perjury testifying to their eyewitness accounts of fraud and irregularities, and I really resent those who dismiss this as meaning nothing. We take eyewitness accounts as evidence all the time. Some of these people have exposed themselves and their families to grievous attacks and threats from bullies on the left. These are men and women willing to endure the pain necessary to bring the truth into the light, and they shouldn't be dismissed. And then there are the captains in this fight, Giuliani and Jenna and Powell and Woods and DiPerno, Allied Security Operations Group, ASOG, and now the latest to step in, Jovan Hutton Pulitzer. Now, it sounds like a made-up name for a novel or something. Turns out Jovan was originally named Jeffrey Jovan Filiaw. I hope I pronounced that right. Changed it to Jovan Hutton Pulitzer. I have his official bio here if you want to peruse it. It's very extensive. His credits are impressive. Jeffrey Jovan Filiaw, a first-generation German-Jewish American, a brilliant inventor and author, by the way, and something of a history aficionado, holds over 200 patents related to the interface between people and paper with the internet. Probably every day, multiple times a day, you engage the internet on a platform that is using Jeffrey's technology. What is Jovan Hutton Pulitzer doing in the fight? The Georgia State Senate hearings are proceeding, and Jovan Pulitzer is shining the bright light of truth on what happened in this election. He's an expert a brilliant expert in the field of paper and computer interaction. When you scan something at the store or with your phone, you scan a QR code, for example, and all that, well, you are using technology for which he holds patents. He makes clear what is otherwise mysterious to us non-geeky types. For example, he explains the significance of the barcodes on the ballots. He explains how those markings on the paper of the ballot are the only code we really need to be concerned about. The machine merely reads the code and does so according to hard rules. If the code on the ballot is incorrect, it triggers a rejection by the machine. He described it as when you put a dollar bill into a vending machine. If the reader scans a dollar bill, cannot recognize it, the machine kicks the dollar bill out. You have to smooth it out, unfold the corners, all that, and try again. But until the machine can identify the dollar bill, according to its programming, it's not going to accept it. The same thing happens with a ballot. If it cannot read the barcode, it's going to reject the ballot. Only in this case, the ballot gets sent to adjudication, where with these machines, an operator can manipulate the ballot. Mr. Pulitzer shows that, in fact, the markings on the ballots were purposely designed to trigger rejection by the machine, which required those ballots to be sent for adjudication. In adjudication, without any oversight, the operator can manipulate the ballot any way they choose. These are the ingredients for fraud, man. The Michigan ballots were rejected at a rate of 68%. What? A 68% error rate is totally unacceptable. I understand the law sets the threshold at 0.0008. Further, Pulitzer showed physical evidence that the ballots were not consistent in Georgia. Intriguingly, some had barcodes and others did not. What? Now, why would some ballots not have barcodes? You see, the barcode connects the ballot to a voter. So, you know, if there's a ballot for which you don't have a voter, well, you wouldn't want there to be any traceable connection to any envelope. Now, if the left plays their favorite game of plausible deniability and says, well, that's printer error, well, then we have to redo the election because that printer error created a situation where we cannot verify that ballot was completed by a legitimate eligible voter. The whole point of keeping the ballots for 20 months is in order to provide for audit. Like Jovan pointed out, any company that did not keep their records for audit purposes during the requisite period required by law would be punished severely. I mean, the CEOs would very likely end up in jail, or at least the financial officers. The business would be shut down. How is it possible for business finances to be more important than the sacred right to vote? So Mr. Pulitzer wants the state to deliver 500,000 ballots to him to run through his machine that will examine them. He says he is able to identify whether the paper they were printed on was from China. He could tell you if the ballot was completed by a machine or by a pen in the hand of someone. He could tell you if a mail-in ballot was actually mailed at all. He tells us he can run a million ballots through his analysis in a matter of, I think he said, a day or so. Then Mr. Pulitzer did another amazing thing. Do you remember the Dominion CEO who testified under oath that the machines are not designed to be online? He told the Michigan State Oversight Committee on December 15, 2020, quote, additionally, voting systems are meant to be used as closed systems that are not networked, meaning they are not connected to the internet, end quote. Oh, really? Well, guess what? Mr. Pulitzer opened up his computer right in front of the Georgia State Judiciary Committee this last Wednesday, and he connected to a Dominion machine right there in that county, right before their eyeballs. Yep, this past Wednesday, Jovan did a live hack job on the Dominion machine in full view of the panel. He proved for these Georgia senators that the runoff going on right now is connected to the internet. He established two-way communication from a polling pad in a voting center in Georgia. Well, now that's not supposed to happen, is it, Mr. CEO from Dominion? Now, and you know, I came across this liberal who said the only thing anyone is going to find in any audit is that Biden won a free and fair election. I say, wow, great. So there is no reason to object to a complete signature audit of the ballots, right? Crickets. As Jovan pointed out, we must have access to the hard evidence, what he calls the artifact of record. The empirical paper ballot that was completed by the voter. On what grounds does the state refuse to make these ballots available? What possible argument can be made against allowing the ballots to be examined forensically? After all, they're supposed to, by law, be kept for 20 months. There is no reasonable objection. The same thing is true with regard to these machines. There is no reasonable objection to allowing the machines and the ballots to be forensically examined. Well, actually, there is one. And the one reasonable excuse for not allowing access to the ballots and to the voting machines is to cover up the fraud that occurred in this election. So what men do we need now? Congressional certification of the electoral vote is coming January 6th. What men must do? Well, Gohmert's the man. Only I think it is a mistake to go to the courts. The courts are full of wussies. They are ducking for cover, hiding during this fight, most of them. The SCOTUS is a worthless pack of gutless cowards, with the exception of Thomas and Alito. Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, and Barrett, with the rest of the left, wussies, hiding behind Roberts' fear of interfering in politics. I'm so sick of these self-righteous liars who allow politics to interfere with them doing their duty. Their job is not to make decisions controlled by whether or not their decision might have political consequences. Consequences again, you see? Your decisions are to be controlled by your duty. It's your duty to rule on matters of constitutional law, and that is exactly what is at stake here. So, Gohmert, I hope you don't allow yourself to get stopped by any coward court. If you find a court with courage to rule according to justice and judgment in defense of the Constitution, who are unafraid of the political consequences, well and good. But if not, what is right, and what is wrong is wrong. It was wrong for those states to proceed with certification of electors that were appointed contrary to the manner directed by the legislature of those states. That was contrary to the Constitution of the United States, and that is wrong, period. It should never have happened. The legislatures in those states appointed alternate electors in order to address this error. Warranted, they were hoping some court would rule on the matter. But let me say something here that Mark Stein was saying to us on Rush's show, I think it was today, Thursday. But anyway, the courts don't create law. The courts don't create law. The fact is, the law says electors are to be appointed according to the manner directed by the legislature in each state. In these states in question, the electors were not appointed in accordance with the manner prescribed by the legislatures. Only the legislatures can decide whether they would accept how the electors were appointed. If those legislatures say foul and send alternate electors because of their concern about foul play, well, then the president of the Senate, with the Congress in concurrent session, must, by force of law and what's right, declare the electoral votes that will be counted will be those that were legally appointed. Then, for once, you weak-kneed, sniveling Republicans, for once, you can put those Democrats on the defensive. Let them try to litigate in before the court. Let's see if the lousy court will then finally decide to get in here and do their job. January 6th, gathering in D.C. to support the Constitution. My message to patriots is, take the offense. Now, the Nashville bombing update, they're saying the guy was a crazy 5G conspiracy nut who detonated the bomb to take down the 5G tower there. So, quote, FBI agents are now investigating whether Warner believed in 5G conspiracy theories, end quote. In other words, they're not coming to that theory out of any evidence they've seen. They're starting with the theory and then moving to find the evidence. I did a bit of research on this, and I won't have time to go into it today, but I can take care of it during our live stream visit this evening. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. Now you let me know you see they're on. Go to godswar2020.com to order my book, God's War. Email me from that website, godswar2020.com. Leave a message on our Lights On hotline at 805-314-2114 or call me from GodsWar2020.com. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church. And we begin the year with Evangelist Dave McCracken, who will be with us from Sunday through Wednesday. I look forward to seeing you there.
Go to GodsWar2020.com.